Final Hour Overdrive continues, brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. We're live at the RBC Canadian Open all week here at Oakdale. Brian Hayes, the O'Dub, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We got a big hour coming up. Ryan Dempster will join us here in a few moments, our good buddy Ryan.
Be fascinating to get his thoughts on what, like,
Manoa.
I think we all know what we're going to, just what the grappler said, be shocking if he gets through three.
Yeah, we went through this last time he was on the mound that I think we hit it on the head. We said
four
innings, and maybe he pitches into the fifth, maybe.
I was trying to be positive.
Yeah.
Remember, I was like, he's going to get to the fifth, and we might see. And it was a good situation for him. He just didn't get there.
Which gets to the point, Hazy. What good is it for anybody involved, most importantly the team, to be wheeling out there your supposed ace that can only go three or four innings? That can't benefit anybody.
No, it is concerning when you legitimately have a line going into a start where you're thinking he gets 12 outs tonight, like over under 12 and a half outs. I'd probably lean the under. I really would, especially with Houston in town. Like, this team, it's a championship club coming in here. They are going to work him. You know, he's not a guy that's going to strike anybody out. When he gets behind and counts, he's in trouble. He gets himself in too many jams. The velocity hasn't been there. We've seen it all with him.
What about the walks?
The walks have been incredibly concerning.
Dude, it's the hoping something gets over the plate that's the most concerning.
Yeah, but they may have tipped off a little bit in terms of what's going on down there, because I guess John Schneider was speaking with the media. And Mitch White is a guy they acquired last year and is someone that's been down in the minors, and he's been getting rocked in the minors. And I guess Schneider just said he's no longer looked upon as a guy as an option to start games with the Blue Jays. Like, he might be an innings-eating type guy.
Isn't that
option.
The guy they were trying to line up the starts with Manoa, too, to see if maybe
that's what they've been trying to do,
right?
Down there, is make sure that they have, you know, possible options on the appropriate rest. And now Mitch White has been... He's been really, really a mess down in Buffalo. They're like, we can't even look at this guy.
That's tough.
As bad as Manoa's been, the possible replacement's been worse in the minors. So that takes that option out of the way.
This is Manoa's 13th start, I think, tonight.
Yes.
So
that's... Like, his stats across the board, we've been referencing them for over a month. You know, in terms of qualified starters, he's at the bottom of basically every statistical category. Like, he throws way more pitches than anyone per inning. He walks more guys per start. It's
not good.
No, it's not an encouraging situation to be in. Yet, the rest of the rotation has started to really figure it out. Gausman has legitimately been a Cy Young candidate all year. Bassett was phenomenal on Friday night. And Berríos, his ERA is back down to 3.66.
Yeah.
Like, that's really respectable. Like, that, he's putting up legitimate quality outings. It's still quiet because I think people aren't focused on him, and you almost don't want to believe it until you've seen it. But this guy, prior to showing up in Toronto, was a legit stud in Minnesota for years. Like, last year was such an anomaly. It was such a horrible season for him from start to finish that became his reputation, and I think justifiably. But that doesn't mean the guy doesn't know how to pitch, and he appears to be – you know, making it work now. So credit to him for the perseverance. Pete Walker's got all the money in the world, but everyone kept saying it, right? He believes in himself, and no one wants him more than him. He's a hard worker, et cetera, et cetera. Berríos has really turned his season around.
Yeah.
And they need him to do that because of what's going on with Alek Manoa right now. Here's a guy who's very familiar with getting starts in at the major league level. He's one of our favorites. Good Canadian boy, longtime MLB pitcher. See him and hear him on the Marquee Network as an analyst. Here's Ryan Dempster joining us back here on Overdrive. How you doing, Ryan?
Hey, great, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Ryan, what do you think the expectation? We've been talking, and it's kind of it is a disappointing conversation when we're talking about a guy who's, I believe, he started the All-Star game, didn't he, last year?
Alek Manoa, well, he was mic'd up at it.
Oh, yeah, talking about punchies and this and that. And now we're wondering if he can get through three or four. What are your expectations of him tonight?
I think it's hard, man. Like, you know, we look at what he had to do from a physical standpoint last year compared to, you know, where he was in previous years, and we just sometimes forget that kind of taxing on a body. I'm not saying somebody's hurt. It doesn't necessarily mean hurt. Like, I remember 2000 and going into 2000, and I jumped to 226 innings. And then the next year, start out the year, things are going fine, and all of a sudden it was just like somebody pulled an e-brake.
So are you saying there's some fatigue involved with Manoah, or what? I don't understand what you mean.
Yeah, 100% I think there is. And I think what happens is when we're fatigued, we get underneath the baseball a little bit, then pitches aren't quite as crisp. Maybe we lose a mile an hour or two on our fastball. Our breaking ball doesn't quite bite like it used to. And then we start scrambling to try and figure out all these different ways to fix it. And it's hard to fix it in the moment. And, you know, it's just a reality, right? Like, he went from throwing, you know, 111 innings to 196 innings plus the playoffs. You know, that's a big jump. That's almost doubling your innings. And, like, you know, if you go across the board and you look at, like, his even his career high in the minor leagues, like, he just didn't throw a lot. You know, there was 2019 with 17 innings, and 2020 is the COVID year, and then all of a sudden it's like 2021. You got 18 years innings in the minor leagues and 119 in the big leagues. Like, that's just a lot, you know, and when it's your first time. And so there becomes this shortening of stuff, and then you just have to figure out a way to continue to grind through it and get better physically. I don't know if that's a 10-day stint or a 15-day stint of just, like, getting a little rest. You know, it's a reality, right? Like, we want to sit there and point to all these different things, but reality is there's this huge innings increase on something that, like, and you take that from the years before and the year before that, like, it's a lot. Like, you had a lockout. You had all these different things that kind of play into that. I just think I personally, I might be wrong. I haven't talked to Alex, so I don't know. But just somebody who's been through it before, I know what it feels like when all of a sudden everything's going great, made the All-Star team, pitched 226 innings, went to Japan, next thing you know, middle of the season in 2002, parachute. Whoa, why is my ball not doing what it wants to do? You know, I feel fine, but the reality is my arm is not used to this, and so then we want to search for all these answers, but maybe fatigue's a little bit of it, and then you start trying to create new things, and you create bad habits because you're chasing something that you're not accustomed to. And then on top of it, you're taking everything that's coming. Every day, this poor kid, and I'm not calling him a poor kid because I get it. He's getting paid millions of dollars. He gets hammered all the time, man, and everybody's got a reason why, and he's got 20 pitching coaches in his ear, and people say, well, don't listen to the media. Cool, man. He knows the questions that are being asked. He gets asked them on a daily basis. So I think it's just a lot, and he's got to find a way to just find some sort of peace and reset a little bit, and maybe that's a little bit of time off, and don't take it as an insult, and don't take it as something that is negative. Take it as a thing that you can use to make you a little bit better.
Ryan, if you were tasked with the responsibility of considering Manoah's long-term and short-term health and benefits of playing baseball, what would you do with him as far as what he should be doing and where he should do it?
Yeah, I would give him a breather. And like, it's hard, right? Because you can't do that. Like, if you do,
what does a breather look like? Does it take 2 weeks off or what?
Yeah, just, you know, maybe it's like, a fatigue and you go on the IL. Nobody wants to do that, right? If I could tell my younger self a couple different times, you know, as I got older, I'm like, man, every old guy should get like a two start skip, you know? But even as a young guy, there was times where I thought I was helping. I don't want to miss my turn in the rotation, and I'm helping the team, but also there was fatigue there. And it's all part of it. You're balancing this thing, but this kid's future is bright. He's going through it right now. He's on the struggle bus, and you got to figure out a way to get through that struggle bus and figure out a way, because ultimately the team wants to win, right? Like, it's not a demotion of the bullpen. That does nothing. Like, this kid is a starting pitcher. He's got the ability to be a starting pitcher. He just needs to figure out how to get through it. I've been there, man. I've been exactly where he's at. I've been at the start of the season after a month in 2010 or 2011. I was the worst pitcher in baseball. This is a true story. I picked up, I had my morning breakfast after a start in Arizona, and I went to go use the commode because I had to go to the bathroom. I sat on that thing, and I read the paper, and I was the last guy on the ERA qualifiers, 9.6. I sucked. I was the worst. I couldn't get out. I'd go out there and get rocked. I struggled. And you just figure out a way. You keep working hard. You keep looking, make adjustments, whatever you got to do. He's going to be all right because this guy is a fighter. He's a first-round pick. He's got all the tools in the world. He's just going through a tough time right now.
So are you mapping out your plan while you're still in the washroom, like after reading the 966 immediately?
Can you enjoy a dump reading those numbers or not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it was bad, guys. Like, you thought what was coming out was bad. What was going through my brain was worse. You know?
Well, you put it together.
Looking a lot like what was down in there. That wasn't a pretty performance. And then I go out in L.A., 5 days later to go start. I walked the first two batters on eight pitches. Where do I go from there? My catcher, Giovanni Soto, comes up to the mound, said some things that had nothing to do with baseball. Zero. He didn't mention anything to do with baseball. And I turned to him. I was like, what? Like, I kind of snapped on him. I can't say them on air because I'll get canceled. But I just said, what? Like, are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, double play ball is good. And then he left. And I just got a double play ball. And then I got out of the inning. And then I go seven innings, give up one run. And next thing you know, I went on a little bit of a tear. It can be something that simple. Get away from all of the baseball stuff and realize you're not curing cancer out there. You're just making pitches and you're trying to win a baseball game. But it's hard. It's hard to have fun when you suck. And that's the reality. But he's going to be okay. He's going to get through this because he's strong enough. He's strong enough mentally. Eventually something's going to click. You know, and maybe he's the guy at the end of the season that's carving guys up and helping this rotation.
What is the weirdest thing you've heard on the mound? Was that it? I mean, is the conversations, like you say, sometimes when things are stressful, like, do guys come up and just try and, you know, break the stress? Is that a regular practice, or, you know, have you had a skip come up and say something weird?
Yeah, no, I've had all kinds of stuff. You know, like, I remember my high school coach coming out one time. I'd just blown a perfect game. You know, I'm sitting there. We were playing White Rock. I blew a perfect game on a bunt back to me. I overthrew the first baseman. Then I lost my no-hitter the next batter. I was kind of frazzled, and he just walked out to the mound. He just said, Ryan, remember, no matter where you go, there you are. And then he turned around and walked away. And I was like, whoa, okay, I'll take that. You know, Mike Redmond, the bench coach of the Colorado Rockies, he was a great catcher. He was really good at the mental side. And I was frazzled one time. I was just struggling, and nothing was going. I wasn't getting rocked, but it just wasn't going right. I was cutting balls. I was trying to throw sinkers. They weren't sinking. It was just, and I was, he comes out to the mound, and I'm like, Red, man, this is happening. I can't get my breaking ball over for a strike. And he just goes, whoa. Calm down, dude. I just came out here to figure out where we were going to drink Bud Lights after the game. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I don't know, where do you want to go? And then next thing you know, we get out of it, and we're enjoying some cold ones afterwards. So, yeah, like, it's not always serious. Sometimes it needs to be, you need to, like, we're little kids out there sometimes, and the catchers are the parents who need to, instead of telling us what to do, they just need to, like, redirect us. And Mike Redmond was as good as anybody at that.
Ryan, who is the best consumer of Bud Lights after a game, after a big victory in Major League Baseball?
History, no, I mean, it was Miller Lite, Wade Boggs, nothing like it. I mean, the stories are true, guys. The cross-country flight from Tampa to Seattle where he drank 70 beer and didn't even use the bathroom. I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's like the kicker, man, when you don't use the can. Like, you get a salute like no other if you don't go to the can.
Is he wearing Depends? Did he have a catheter? Like, how did he do that, you know? I drink two and I got to go. I'm one in, one out. Like, that's how I got to go. It's just the way it is. My dad gave me a small bladder. Like, you know, it's genetics. But, you know, I don't know. Like, Wade Boggs, hands down, I mean, the stories are true. You know, he talked about it. It's legit, you know. And, you know, hats off. Not only could he hit line drives over everywhere, a diet of beer and chicken.
That's what's wild about him, man. Like, 3,000 hits. And all he ate was chicken parms and crushing beers. Like, that beer to washroom ratio has to be in the Hall of Fame. That's got to be the greatest of all time, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he simplified it pretty good. You know, obviously, he talks about, he learned a lot from the, you know, Ted Williams' book about hitting and, you know, a tough out, didn't strike out, hit line drives everywhere, hit home runs when he wanted to, like his 3,000th hit. You know, he wanted it to be a home run. You know, pretty special. And then good luck, man. If you're playing flip cup or a game of quarters, you're losing.
Yeah. That guy's going to live until he's 107, too. You just know it. Wade Boggs will be around forever.
On his license, it says blood type. It says light beer.
With Ryan Dempster. The Jays, you know, they're starting to get it together. And, you know, Manoah obviously is – it's on the more pessimistic side of things, and that's just a fact. He hasn't pitched well. But we were talking about Berríos prior to having you on. I know we've had you on a lot the last year and a half, talking about Jose Berríos. And the chats we're having about Manoah today were the ones basically carbon copy we were having about Berríos last year. And he's really put it together. And, I mean, as a former pitcher yourself, you just spoke about all the different, you know, opportunities you had to prove your perseverance. What can you say about this guy? He got all that money. He had a horrible year last year, but Berríos is really starting to give him something. He's got his ERA down to 3.66.
Yeah, and like we were having those same conversations early on in the season, right?
Right.
Like not even last year. It started out again this year. He gets, you know, his first start of the year at Kansas City, gets hit around against the Angels, and he starts the year and he looks, you know, his ERA is up near 2 touchdowns, and he's fought his way. And that's what it's all about. Like, I think that's the pride we have as starting pitchers. You know that as long as you're healthy, you're going to make 30 to 32 starts. And how do you handle that? Like, you just curl up in a ball when you have a rough couple starts to start the season, or somewhere in the year when you get rocked a little bit? Nope. And even like he got on a hot streak and then, you know, beginning of May goes to Fenway Park, gets hit around by the Red Sox, division rival. Right back on the horse, you know, and that just shows you how quick things can turn around. Sometimes it's mechanical, sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's just, you know, you're not locating where you think is acceptable, right? You're like, oh, you know, that was a good pitch, and then you go watch it on video and you're like, nah, it really wasn't that good of a pitch. You know, there's not too many times you execute where guys are roping it around. So good for him for settling in, because he's there for the long haul, and they need that, right, with Gossman and him. You need Manoah, and you need these guys, Kikuchi, to step up and be a part of a good rotation. So, yeah, good for him for figuring out what wasn't working and changing it and then going out there and executing. And there's a lot more strikes. And then when you do that, there becomes a lot more chase with your breaking ball. Instead of nibbling on the corners, falling behind the count, I just see him filling up the strike zone a lot more.
With Ryan Dempster, we saw Vladdy, you know, go on a tear again down in New York. There's something about that city. He hates the Yankees. Like, every time he's in New York playing the Yankees, he makes it abundantly clear to their media, I'm never signing here, ever. I don't like it here. I won't sign
something
here.
Something happened with his dad.
There has to be some history there. And I'm sure the Mets are like, well, what the hell did we do to you? Like, what did we do to Vladdy Sr.? Why are you coming in here and hitting big bombs and big hits in the ninth? And he has not hit a home run, though, at the Rogers Center yet this year, which is one of the stranger statistical anomalies. But I'm sure you pitched against his dad. You know, you've been watching him now for years. Where are you at with Vladdy? Because once he gets hot again, and it appears as if it's starting to heat up, like, he is still a clear-cut game changer, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. You know, and like you said, like, he kind of fell into this lull, you know, the last 30 games, just 4 home runs. One of those was a grand slam off Luke Raley. Or I think it was.
Yes, it was in Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah.
After he struck him out the previous inning.
Yeah, so you know, you have a situation where he just, you know, wasn't hitting for the power, and then, you know, you talk to hitters, you see it in them, they start chasing that, and, you know, he's kind of started to square the ball up again, and this is the kind of guy offensively that can carry your ball club for 10 days, 2 weeks, just because he's so dangerous. And when all of a sudden it starts looking big to him, it's like, oh, look out. And then you got Bo in front of him, and it just becomes this juggernaut of an offense. But he's a lot like his dad, you know. When his dad got hot, it was scary because you'd go in these meetings, and you'd have pitcher meetings, and you'd be like, oh, just, you know, just don't throw him a strike breaking ball. Cool. I threw him a slider that bounced in the other batter's box, and he pulled it for a hole. He pulled it for a base hit in the hole. Like, it doesn't matter. I watched him take Scott Williamson on a fastball up and away, Vlad Sr., that after getting dusted, he threw it right center field, and this pitch was not even close to being a strike. And Vladdy Jr. is that kind of kid, man. When he gets going and he gets offensively gets hot, every day it's that 2-for-4, 3-for-4, 1-for-3, with a lot of OPS in there, doubles, homers. So, yeah, getting hot like that in New York, maybe that's just a little thing that sparks him, and now he gets locked in.
Yeah, it's go time tonight with Houston in town. It's going to be a fun series. Manoah on the mound for the Jays. He is a longtime MLB pitcher, good Canadian boy, and you see him on the marquee network. He is Ryan Dempster. Always great catching up with you, Ryan. We appreciate all the stories and all the time, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Great to be on with you. Take care.
He is, Ryan Dempster. And of all the different stories that came out of that, all of the insight, the fact that he confirmed the Wade Boggs stuff.
Yeah. The number changes, though, but it's still a ridiculous number.
And the flight plan, that was like Tampa to Seattle. I always heard Boston to L.A.
Right.
Right. But
it's probably multiple flights.
The whole thing came to fruition on College Game Day. Do you know that?
Was someone have a sign up?
Someone had a sign up that said, I was on a flight with Wade Boggs from Boston to L.A., and he drank 100 beers. So then, because you know how College Game Day, they have those ridiculous signs. So someone holds up this sign where it's like, I saw Wade Boggs drink 100 beers. So then people started, like the rumors started getting out there, and somebody asked him, said, Wade, have you ever been on a flight and drank that many beers? And I think he said, like, I don't know if it was 100, but it was a lot.
I want to say he's got an endorsement deal. Look that up, Grappler. I think he signed with something like Miller Lite or something like that.
Yeah. And he backtracked on the story, and he said it probably was around 85 or 100 or something, because he had 15 after the game in the clubhouse, 10 on the bus to the airport, and then he had 60 in the bird.
Right. Well, and that's, I think they were flying commercial. Like, he was probably bellied up at the airport bar for an hour, and he probably took down 8 or 10 there. Like, you start doing the math, you're like, okay, clubhouse, bus, bar, flight, bus, hotel, shutdown. The analytics on that are outrageous.
100 beer.
And Wade, he just sit there and continue. Like, him and Andre the Giant, I think, are probably the most impressive athletes in terms of consuming pints. And Andre the Giant, by all account, like, he made Wade Boggs look he was.
What was his analytics? Like, what was Andre the Giant? Like, was he 7'5"?
Yeah, he was
400 pounds.
He weighed more than that. I think he was like 550 pounds.
Wow.
Like, guys can get after it, though. It's like you have a guy's weekend. I was sleeping at my cottage one time, boys' weekend. I had it every summer, and I heard two of my friends talking in the living room. They're both sleeping on the couch, and just casual convo. It's like, how many drinks do you think you had yesterday? And then they start going through them. It's like, I had 10 beers in the cottage before we went to golf. Then I had 9 on the course, and then I had 2 Caesars at lunch, and then 15 beers the second. And his number was 58.
Yeah.
It piles up, man.
It can. I mean, it's certainly not suggested.
58 drinks.
It's not medically suggested, but that's it, man. You start getting carried away.
7'3", 7.35.
Yep.
That's how tall he
was? 7'3.5".
525 pounds.
That's Andre the Giant. His hand, like, he would hold, there's that famous picture of him holding a Molson Canadian.
Yeah.
It was a tall boy, and it looked like a little.
It honestly looked like he was holding, like, a little small, like.
Yeah, like one of those mini bottles.
Mini bottles, exactly.
It's like ridiculous.
What you'd see in a hotel lobby or something. It's crazy the kind of numbers that Andre the Giant would put up. Anyway, we're live at the RBC Canadian Open, Oakdale Golf and Country Club. It is in mint condition. It's starting to quiet down here. We haven't seen people roll through here in a while.
It does look
very welcoming. I will
admit.
We don't have our clubs here, so it's not doable tonight. But tomorrow it's a possibility. Lawrence Applebaum, our buddy from Golf Canada, will join us to set the scene for the week. Who's going to be up here? What kind of action are we talking about? The weather's going to be beautiful. We're up here at Oakdale, and we're going to be here all week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
The Wade Boggs stories are filtering in, and I just got one from my buddy Todd Warner, who said Boggs used to come to the games in Tampa Bay. The security guy would let him bring in a 30-pack of Miller Lights, and he left the box with all 30 empties under his one seat. So the guy knew how to hammer a Miller Lite.
That's the kind of activity we're talking about. And I wouldn't expect Wade Boggs' level of, you know, partying necessarily at Oakdale this week, but it's going to be a great party. It's going to be a great party. We're at Oakdale Golf and Country Club, the RBC Canadian Open. Here's our buddy Lawrence Applebaum, CEO of Golf Canada. Go time. Right?
Yes.
51 weeks a year you wait for this week. How are we feeling on a Monday at Oakdale?
Oh, have you been able to sleep? Like, have you been able to get actually some rest?
There's a lot of buzz.
He's stressed.
There's a lot of buzz about what I might end up doing on Wednesday, right? There's a lot of people talking.
I don't think he slept in the pro-am when he played that course. I just wish we had an opportunity. The rough still looks a little grisly, but it looks so perfect out there right now.
It is.
The difference in only a week, it looks tour, which it obviously should be, but it looks fantastic.
Well, they're blaming their poor game last week on the rough, apparently.
Yeah, shouldn't
That's
we have?
Well, I'll tell you that it's mint. It looks great. We've had amazing weather, as you guys all know, in the past week. The word on the street was a couple of PGA Tour, let's call them, whispers were out here last week watching you guys. Mm-hmm. One guy ducked in after 3 holes. Was 1 under, 2 under after 3 holes, and guys said, "There's a couple of tour pros out here shooting the lights out." I said, "Stay with them.
Yes,
stay with them. It's tough."
And they did, and it was disgusting as it continued. Yes, go ahead.
How are they going to continue to pick the venues for the tournament moving forward? If we're going to move away from St. G's, how are they going to continue to pick venues?
Well, it's a great question because we have so many good tracks in the GTA, GTA-HA that are incredible. It's inside the ropes being exquisite, but it's also what we want to try and build outside the ropes. And you guys are sort of seeing it here. We're 30% bigger than we were in St. George's, which was 30% bigger than we were at Hamilton. So
when you say bigger, are you talking
the footprint? The footprint, the build. You guys see what's on 18.
Yeah.
We're going to host, you know, upwards of 125,000 people here at Oakdale. So we've got great tracks, and I'll give you an example. We've got a great track like Weston, which is an amazing golf course that we were at last week with our Team Canada players. It just does not have the capacity outside the ropes to handle that kind of foot traffic, what we're building on the fairway with all of our partners and making it about music and food and fun and a few beverages, mm-hmm. and being able to host this level of, it's a major, major PGA Tour event.
Right, and a lot of it also has to be considered, like, the facilities for the players, too, right? Like, the facilities at Oakdale are unbelievable. The locker room, that's as good as it gets. St. George's, phenomenal. Like, you got to make sure the players are comfortable, too. That has to be part of the factoring.
Well, it's today, so we have the Golf Canada Foundation, which is a great recipient of so many charitable things that we're doing, and First Tee. There are a lot of pros on site who haven't played, and they're wandering around the clubhouse sort of getting lost because it's an amazing, beautiful clubhouse, 1,000 family members here at Oakdale. But it's so interesting to see so many people who are up here playing it for the first time, seeing it with fresh eyes, super impressed so far, and we've got a great week of weather ahead of us.
Yes.
So it's looking great.
Somebody said to me the other day, it's so fun to turn on any kind of golf event, and you're seeing Canadians hovering around the top or around the leaderboard. It's got to be great for you. It's great for all Canadians to kind of watch the development and always kind of seeing a Canadian in the mix.
Well, we're at this special moment where we've got 8-9 guys on the PGA Tour and 4 women on the LPGA Tour. Yesterday, Sunday, we had 3 Canadian wins. PGA Tour Latin America, a guy from Digby, Nova Scotia, Miles Crichton won. Elena Sharp won on the Epson Tour. And then Stephen Ames, who won on the Champions Tour. And we just want to see all those guys bring that game to Oakdale and have a Canadian win. We've been waiting a long time for a male Canadian winner. We had Brooke win in 2018.
Of course. Right. Lords Applebaum joining us here. We're live at Oakdale Golf and Country Club, RBC Canadian Open. Well, Mike Weir, I mean, that would have been about 20 years ago, I guess. He and Vijay were going back and forth, and Mike is still playing. Like, he's such a huge ambassador for the Brown. How cool is it to have Mike Weir here all week, and he's still such a massive draw whenever it gets north of the 49?
Well, so Weirzy was out here playing. The guy is an athlete. I mean, he's a physical, he's in shape, he's a specimen of a guy. He's out here grinding. He's asking all the people who know this course really well. He's really, really focused on his athletic play. And he only had one question. Is Noodles going to be here this week?
Well,
and
he's here.
I didn't know that connection that you had with Weirzy.
Well, you and Weirzy go way
before.
Back.
Met him before, yes. But, I mean, do you think I should take one shot? That was the debate before we came on air. Do I take
we
one shot?
We need you to take one shot. What are we talking
tips.
Here? Not
from the tips. I'm going to
I think
bury it
it's
into
185
that RBC.
Yards.
I'll bury it
matter.
Into that RBC sign by
exactly.
accident. I need to be past. I need to clear. And we can't have people on the sides.
No.
I can't be Tom Kite.
No, you can't.
And
you
bury
can't kill
somebody.
We can maybe work
accident.
Out the noodle shot tomorrow. But what about this? And I'm being dead serious.
For one here.
Who would say no to this if tomorrow me and Hayes got off the air and we had our clubs in here, and we played 9 holes?
He would say no.
Is that a would we be throwing?
You want to start a number 10? We'll just play the back.
That's it. Play 10 through 18. Would someone throw us off of the golf course?
Yes, I believe.
You can
start
be
it
honest
up.
With it because the two of us are
would
reasonable.
Also help
yes.
us.
I will tell you this because we did have a question about can I take a golf cart by one of our good friends Carlo Kuliakovo, and I said,
course,
you know,
thank you for mentioning that.
Of course you did.
I said, Carlo, we'll have Carlo play in the Monday after.
Yes.
You know when carts will be allowed, but the PGA Tour in all seriousness, done such an amazing job with the superintendent and the folks here at Oakdale to put it in mint condition. Hazy on Wednesday is about as enough.
That's my concern, man. Like, legitimately, that was a concern of ours.
There's no one. It's going to be like this. There's nobody out here. We just wheel around, play a couple holes.
Tonight was your night.
Tonight, we didn't bring the sticks.
Mine are in my car.
You guys have this term called folding the sod over. Can you imagine this beautiful course, and you do that? They've got to repair it the next day.
Well, exactly. Like, that's what. You know what's going to come on Wednesday. I mean, I shot the lights out last year. This year, it's going to be awful, Lawrence. I'm legitimately concerned that it's going to, the pendulum will swing because I've set the bar way too high. But you, I think we can get like a 7-iron in your hands, and we got to put something on the line if you can hit the green. But if Noodles can hit the green, right? We got to get something on the line.
But I need a driver.
So here's that. No,
we'll get you maybe a putter. It doesn't matter, dude. You're not going to do it.
Here's what I think we can do is Brian Hayes is playing in the Pro-Am. We will work through hole number 14. When he gets to 14, like they do at TPC Sawgrass,
right.
The caddies get to play.
Yes.
We will have the old dog versus Jamie with a three-stroke.
That's a good – play the hole.
I'm not playing golf. Like, just let him hit one driver off. You want to just see if he can hit the green?
Grapper said, he goes, if you do it 10 times, maybe I'll get lucky with one, and that's the one we'll put on social.
The grappler did take a swing, if I'm
yes,
not mistaken.
Yes, he did last year on 16.
Yeah, he was floating off the next two holes. His feet didn't touch.
Well, he's going to be my caddy on Wednesday. Are you prepared for that?
Well, we have two partners for you. I'm not sure if I've shared who your partners are.
I haven't announced anything. Do you want to announce that to the world, who we're going to be playing with?
Well, we don't know who our pros will be.
Okay.
But our amateurs will be Ryan O'Reilly from the Toronto Maple Leafs, who will be playing with you.
Great guy. Great guy.
Fantastic guy. Loves his golf. He has a small 18-hole setup at his pad. It's one green and 18 tee boxes around.
That's outstanding.
Cool. Yeah.
And then our Team Canada Next Gen Junior Champion from Thornhill, Alyssa Hsu, who would be playing with us, and she is going to light us up. Some bombs down there. So
okay.
Really wonderful young athlete in the Team Canada program.
That's going to be outstanding. Yeah, Lawrence Applebaum joining us here, CEO of Golf Canada. We're live at the RBC Canadian Open. Like the hockey rink hole, this thing's such a big hit. We're here on 14. We're going to be set up all week. Like, what kind of action are we talking come Thursday? How many people? What kind of activity? Is there a chance for a hole in one?
It seems like they're so close. Like, I don't know how, when they have a bunch of beers on them, somebody doesn't say something. That's what I find amazing.
Well, I just ran into Corey Connors a few minutes ago, and I was asking about Rochester, what it was like at the PGA Championships. He said it was raucous, and he said there were tons of Canadians following him, but it was a different kind of follow.
Mm-hmm.
The follow these guys get here, they all say they're treated like rock stars. People, when they see Canadian flags up on leaderboards, when they're here playing, we have 21 Canadians in the field. They feel supported, and it will be positive. It will be encouraging. We'll have this will be the spot to be. It's sold out, 100% sold out hospitality-wise. We still have a few tickets for the weekend, so great concerts. We've got Black Eyed Peas on Friday night. Alanis Morissette on Saturday night. So it's going to be, this will be the place to be.
Beautiful. Give us a plug on where people can buy tickets.
Yeah, direct to rbccanadianopen.com. It's Ticketmaster. Or just hit up Jeff O'Neill.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got the connection. He'll get you through the
you
media
let me
line.
Play nine holes tomorrow night. I'll buy people tickets.
He'll find a way to get people out here. And McIlroy being up here, like, how big is that? That Rory, I mean, what he represents, him winning the tournament last year, he won it in Hamilton years ago.
Yeah. I think you guys know in the sports world when an athlete has it, and Rory has it in spades. And when you see the guy, the way he was walking in the Memorial, probably on Saturday, a little bit more than Sunday, he's got this jump in his step. He hits it higher. He hits it farther than anybody and straighter than anybody is what Jim Nantz said over the weekend. Him being on his game, he feels the love here. He feels that energy and that momentum. So him playing well as arguably the best player in the world. Rory McIlroy, all our Canadians and all of Team RBC. It's amazing to see.
Yeah, you got a great cast of players coming out here like we do every single year. And Oakdale's going to represent well. We're right here in the heart of the city. It's a great setup. A ton of people are going to be up here. It's going to be an awesome week. Well, thanks for popping by. We'll see. I'm sure we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to be here all week. And I'll be there bright and early on Wednesday. Bring your A game because I'm going to bring whatever I've got left.
He'll be fine.
I may
He's
have messed everything up last year. I am legitimately getting nervous because I played so well last year. I played so well last year.
I just will tell you, I did see one thing from last year that I never told you about was on you because you started on the ninth, the 10th hole, right?
Yes.
Which was one.
You couldn't get the ball on the peg. You were shaking so much. And then I thought, then you played great.
After that, it was spectacular. Me and Nick Taylor, we hit it off. I'll try to find Nick. Yeah,
your
I got to
send
him
Nick.
A text.
Yeah, he's probably rolling by.
I'll find Nick.
Yeah.
We'll get Nick on tomorrow.
He'll
come and see us.
Yeah, we'll get Nick. He's our boy. All right, good luck this week, Lawrence. It's always great seeing you, buddy. Thank you for popping by, and we're loving the hospitality. It's going to be a great week.
Guys, thank you. It's amazing. You guys truly love your golf, and especially Noodles.
I
probably get more comments where people go, how good is Noodles? I say, you know, you wouldn't believe it.
Wait until I start. You're going to hit shots tomorrow.
I will.
And it's going to happen. And
people will be happy.
If you hit that green,
I'm telling you.
That is going to go viral, right? Grappler, you're going to be on top of that. We need the full production.
We'll make it happen.
We're going to make it happen. All right, Lawrence, great seeing you.
Thanks, Lawrence.
There he is, Lawrence Applebaum, CEO of Golf Canada. We're live at the RBC Canadian Open all week up here at Oakdale. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, today's best bets are powered by FanDuel. Make your picks and assemble a same-game parlay in seconds on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm looking at Florida tonight getting plus money. You're getting plus 118 tonight. I think they respond. I think this will be a series. I think it's going 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So I'm on Florida tonight. And, again, I'm looking at the Conn Smythe. I know that's more of a big-picture bet. But you're now getting plus 330 for Bob to win the Conn Smythe. And I think if this series goes deep, he's going to win the Conn Smythe,
if
they lose.
All he needs, if you
stands on his head tonight.
Exactly. Now he's right back in the lead.
Florida and the Conn Smythe is his.
If he stands on his head tonight, he's back in the lead.
I agree. Like, I don't think Eichel is a clear-cut Conn Smythe. Like, I think he's had a good playoffs.
Yeah, but, buddy, you know they want to give it to the person that wins the Stanley Cup. They didn't exactly love giving it to Jean-Sébastien Jaguar when Anaheim lost to New Jersey.
But this was an Jersey was kind of a – I don't remember who was rocking. I'm sure Niedermeyer was playing well.
Marty Brodeur.
Eliash or somebody like that.
But the story was, like, so – now, that was because it was the Ducks, and it really was out of left field. But Bob's been so good. He's been so, so good. And generally, it's a narrative that builds up. I'm sure it was like that in 87 with Hextall. It was like that with Jaguar in 03. And I get the sense it's happening here with Bobrovsky.
Ron Hextall won the Conn Smythe, losing to the Edmonton Oilers that had Gretzky on the team.
Exactly. They look past Gretzky and Messier and Coffey and Fuhr, and they're like, no, Ron Hextall gets it.
Right.
So take that into consideration. Today's best bets powered by FanDuel. Same-game parlays are now available for every NHL game on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Please play responsibly. Must be 19-plus and physically located in Ontario. So day one almost in the books up here at Oakdale. And I haven't seen what's been going on with there's four qualifiers that actually took place at Coppenwood yesterday. And four of them are into this tournament.
There are some Canadian guys out there trying to get into the U.S. Open.
Absolutely. And
I think they just started that recently, qualifying in Canada to play in the U.S. Open.
Well, I think it's because the Canadian Open is up here. So you get a lot of players who are coming up for the week that still need to qualify. Like Michael Block, I believe, was playing Lambton today.
Block party.
The Block party's up here in the GTA, and he'll be up here at Oakdale. And you got big names trying to qualify. Like some of them live guys, like Mark Leishman's trying to get in. But there are a number of names that you're very familiar with that are still trying to get into the U.S. Open, and a number of big names were trying to get into the Canadian Open.
Right.
And now the field is set, it's go time, and here we go.
I think it's going to be awesome. It is going to be a fun week. Like, I don't know, Rory, I would love to see him win. I don't know what, to win this.
If it's not
a Canadian or something like that, but like Rory to dominate here, kind of get back on track, although – is he becoming a little bit of a distraction? Like
well,
as far as
you see, Phil Mickelson going at him. Like Phil
just can't. Neither of them can stop themselves.
Yeah. No, they can't. But Phil, like I am convinced, a big part of Phil's contract is simply to make noise,
right?
Because
draw attention.
Because the only time you're talking about Liv right now is what is Phil Mickelson talking about?
Right.
What is he tweeting about? Who's he going at? And now he's going at McIlroy and how no team would want him because they'd have to put up with him.
Right.
And, you know, he's going back and forth with people from the Golf Channel. And, like, I think a big part of the money was simply promotion. It's not going to be about play. Although Phil's been playing a lot better recently, especially
Phil better
at the
be
Masters.
Careful, man. People got some heater stories on that guy that
I
might
know,
start flying.
It is. But McIlroy was really outspoken about Liv. And, you know, early on, Phil had to bite his tongue because he was in the doghouse. Yeah. Now he's effectively come out of it, and maybe he's like, I got to go at these guys, and he's going at Rory. But you're right. McIlroy winning would be big. Clearly one of the Canadians would be big. And then, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing maybe a first-time winner like a Sahith Theegala. Cam Young's up here, both RBC guys, both great young players.
I'd love to see one of the Canadians, man. We played that front nine, Hayes. You got a ball strike your way around that front nine. Corey Connors, man.
Yep.
Maybe it's his time. Mackenzie Hughes.
Yep, for
sure. Maybe one of them can get it done.
Adam Hadwin's playing well recently. Pendrith is a bomber.
Your boy Nick Taylor early on in February, March, he was dialed in.
Absolutely.
I would love to see that. That would be awesome to have, you know, a Canadian win it here on home soil. The crowd would be going nuts. This hole will be going nuts on Sunday.
The hockey hole on 14 will be outstanding. It'll be a great week. It will be a great week. And, you know, shout out to Victor Hovland. I didn't see if his boy qualified today or not, but guy wins the Memorial, $3.6 million, and he caddies 36 holes for his buddy today.
What if Hovland wakes up tomorrow's got a bad back from carrying that bag around?
He probably will.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it probably will be.
He just seems like a good dude, man, to even agree to do that, man.
It's just at some point you got to read the room. Your buddy, you know, if you're the buddy who's asked him to do that, probably be like, okay, I got to figure this. I'll carry my own bag. You can't do this. Like,
right. And you can get a caddy assigned to you.
Exactly.
And no, it's got to be Victor Hovland. So, you know, shout out to Victor Hovland. Shout out to Rose Zhang, who won again on the LPGA. So you got game two tonight of the Cup Final, and Alec Manoah and the Jays back in town against Houston. It's going to be a fun game tonight. I think both games will be good. I'm expecting a Florida bounce back. I'm hoping for a Florida bounce back. Admittedly, I want to see more hockey. I want to see it go a little bit deeper.
Yeah, could get greasy if they don't pull it out. They've got to win this hockey game.
What if Vegas doubles down? Like the only X factor for me is Aiden Hill, but all he's done is win games.
He's played
for them.
Really well for them,
and he made the TSN turning point, the save of the playoffs, playoffs, however you want to term it. That was a desperation save. He doesn't get to that even if he's not 6'6", too, because he was moving from right to left.
Right.
He was way out of the net. What a pass by Tkachuk to find Nick Cousins there.
Yeah. He could have quit on that play, and Pietrangelo could have quit on
that
play, too.
Like, that was a great play.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, it was. And then in the end, you know, there were a lot of penalties called. Vegas had seven power plays.
Yeah.
Paul Maurice was working it immediately.
Well,
you know he's going to do that.
Maurice, afterwards, both these coaches like to, you know, they work the crowd. They've
got
a little politics.
No, but when you do the old punch-in-the-face contest after whistles and stuff, the ref, it goes in one ear and out the other.
It should.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what, like, the Panthers got away from them, and they started acting. All the calls that got called in the third were totally applicable.
Yeah.
Like, they were calls that you're going to make. They're throwing tens out like it was nothing.
Right.
Gudas got it. I think Bennett got a 10. Like, they were throwing tens out to try to quiet it down.
Yeah.
But still, you know, Vegas made them pay. They made them pay on a power play.
Well, and it'd be interesting to see if you're politicking. And Maurice came out afterwards, let's just breathe.
Everyone
and all
calm
that,
down,
you
which
know,
is smart.
Was, yeah.
He's right.
I mean, he did a good job. I think he did a really good job of just trying to calm the masses. Hey, we lost game one against Boston. We're fine. You want to reassure your group, right? Like, that's the biggest thing is you got to fake it to make it. Even if he's behind the scenes going, yeah, I didn't like what I saw. Boy, this Vegas team is for real.
Like, which they are.
Exactly.
The one thing he did say that is true is they had a bunch of offense in that first period that just didn't come to fruition. So the idea of not getting chances or no offense, that's just not there.
No, you're
they
right.
got to bear that one Cousins, as good as a save as it was.
Oh, he's
got
to score.
Yeah, like you got to rip that in the back of the net.
Yeah.
So score early tonight, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yep, that'll go a long way. So Alec Manoah, over under 12.5 outs tonight. Does he give the Jays 12.5 outs?
Buddy, I think he's a rock star in the city. I think he's unbelievable what he did last year. But I'm just going to be straight up. I got a bad feeling about it.
Mm.
I'm going over just for the sake of fandom. Like, I want this guy. Cause Grappler, you gotta get
you're
back
a baseball guy. You know what the hell's going on. What are you saying?
He's shaking his head back there.
I think at some point he needs to turn it around. Like, I know I said before the show I'd be shocked if he lasts three innings, but
he can't. He's not this bad to continue being this bad. So
yeah, the problem is, what if it is three innings, and then where in the hell do you go from there?
Exactly. The shock would be him putting together a seven-inning outing where he's a stud and throws 100 pitches.
Especially against Houston.
Exactly. Keeps the ball in the park, doesn't walk guys, doesn't put himself in jams, but if he does, gets out of them. I mean, that's the surprise right now with Manoah. And that's the position he's put himself in. And the bullpen, you know, was very effective over the weekend. It's been very good lately. It's getting a lot better. But it's probably on fumes. Like, they need something out of him tonight. Or you're going to put the pressure on Gausman again tomorrow. Right? It's always like, Gausman, you got to give us 110-plus pitches. Got to throw seven innings.
Right.
Tough spot to be in. All right, we're live at the RBC Canadian Open all week. Golf Talk Canada is going to be here all week as well. It's been a great opening day. We're going to get Noodles on 14T tomorrow. We'll see what you're made of.
Yes.
Right? We'll see what you're made of.
I'm in there.
And it's going to be a blast. So thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Thanks to everyone here at Oakdale for setting us up. And we're going to be here all week. It's going to be great. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data-enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit tsn.ca/tsnplus to learn more.